Chapter 64. Solon tried to climb down from the statue. King Logan Verdroken had been one of the earliest kings of Cenaria, perhaps mythic, and Solon couldn't remember what he'd done. For all that, it must have been heroic to have Regnus Gyre name his son after him, and he must have been special to get a statue of such size, holding his sword aloft in defiance. Solon had chosen it, not for its metaphoric significance, but simply because he wanted every Meister in the garden to see him, every Meister that had used Vir within 500 paces in the few seconds he'd been able to hold Curoc, was dead. Curoc lay on the stones beneath him. Fir was snatching it up and wrapping it in a blanket. He was shouting at Solon, but Solon couldn't make out the words. He still felt as if he were on fire. Every vein in his body was tingling so fiercely, it was hard to even feel Verdroken's stone sword under his fingers. Solon had perched on the dead king's shoulders and held on to the stone sword for balance, holding Curoc aloft the same way when he'd released the magic. He shifted his grip, his legs shaking, and suddenly fell. Fir didn't quite catch him, but he at least broke his fall.
"I can't walk," Solon said.
His brain was burning, his vision flaring every color in the rainbow. His scalp felt afire.
"It was amazing, Fir. Such a tiny piece of what it can do!"
Fir grabbed him and threw him over his shoulders, as a lesser man might lift a child. He said something, but Solon couldn't quite make it out. He said again.
"Oh, I got about 50 of them, maybe 10 left," Solon said.
"One on the East Bridge." He was trying to remember what Dorian had told him, something urgent, something he hadn't let Fir hear.
"Don't let Fir die. He's more important than the sword."
"I'm going to have to set you down," Fir said.
"Don't worry, I'm not leaving you."
In outrageous hues of green and blue, Caladoran soldiers were swarming in front of the east gate. Solon couldn't even remember leaving the garden. He laughed at what he saw. Fir was using Curoc as a sword. Watching Fir with a sword was more than amazing. It was a privilege. Fir had always been a natural, deceptively quick, unbelievably strong, his movements as precise as a dancer's. In hues of green and blue and red, Fir demolished the soldiers. There was no extended sword play. At most, each soldier had time to swing his own weapon once, miss or have it parried, and then die. Fir cursed, but when Solon tried to follow his gaze, the riot of colors was too intense. The big man lifted him, threw him over a shoulder again, and started running. Solon saw the wood of the bridge beneath Fir's feet.
"Hold on tight," Fir said.
Not a moment too soon, Solon latched on to Fir's belt on either side of the man's broad back. Fir dodged to the side, and his great shoulders rolled. With his feet sticking out in front of Fir, and his head merely bobbing along behind him, all Solon saw was a brief flash of Curoc. Fir spun, the right way so Solon wasn't flung off, and Curoc came up again. Then he was running full speed once more. Solon saw three bodies behind them, lying on the bridge. The man had killed three men while holding Solon over his shoulder. Astounding! Fir said,
"Dorian told me our hope is in the water, but not to jump. Look for a rope."
Solon lifted his head, as if he would be much help in finding a rope while bouncing on Fir's back. He didn't see a rope, but he did see a Meister behind them, conjuring a ball of witchfire. He tried to yell, but couldn't draw breath.
"Damn you, Dorian!" Fir was shouting. "What goddamn rope?"
"Down,"
Solon said. With the reflexes of the swordmaster he was, Fir dropped instantly. Witchfire crackled over their heads and burst against a dozen Caladoran soldiers holding the far gate in front of them. Solon went sprawling and was almost brained by one of the great fire pots that guarded the bridge. The old witch behind them, from his thickness of his veer, Solon guessed he was a Verdmeister, was drawing magic once more. Fear grabbed Solon's collar and threw him behind the fire pot. The move put Solon in a safe place, but exposed Fear. This time, it wasn't witchfire, but something else Solon had never seen. An angry red beam didn't so much fly as streak through the air toward Fear. He threw up a magical shield and ducked. The shield barely deflected the beam, again into a soldier running to join the fray, but the force of the magic blew Fear's shield apart and flung him to the other side like a rag doll. Kurok spun from his grasp. Drawing on strength he didn't know he had, Solon grabbed Fear and pulled him into the shadow of the firepot with him. Two more Meisters were running to join the Verdmeister, and soldiers were behind them. The gate at the far end of the bridge opened, and soldiers were pouring through. Fear sat up and looked out at Kurok, 20 feet away, exposed.
"I can use it," he said. "I can save it."
"No," Solon said. "You'll die."
The soldiers and the Meisters had paused, regrouping, advancing slowly now, cautious and orderly.
"I don't matter, Solon. We can't let them have it."
"You wouldn't even live long enough to use it, Fear. Not even if you were willing to trade your life for 1 second of power."
"It's right there."
"And so is this,"
Solon said, motioning to the edge of the bridge. Fear looked.
"You've got to be joking."
Over the edge, a black silk rope had been tied to the underside of either end of the bridge. It only extended out below them when the wind blew. Fear was looking, not at the rope, but at the fall.
"Hey, it's the prophecy, right? It has to work," Solon said.
If only the world would stop flashing yellow.
"It never works out exactly like Dorian says."
"If he told you that you were going to do this, would you have come?"
"Hell no! And don't you nod knowingly at me? I get enough of that from Dorian."
Fear looked at the approaching soldiers and Meisters.
"Right, you first."
"He's going to go after Kurok, the heroic idiot."
"I can't," Solon said. "I'm not strong enough to grab the rope. I'll die if I go alone."
Fear stood.
"Just let me try."
He reached out with his talent and grabbed the sword. Instantly, hands of Veer crackled visibly over his magic and started climbing toward him. Solon slashed the magic loose with his own.
Spots exploded in front of Solon's eyes.
"Oh, don't do that! Don't do that, please! Oh!" "Let me ride pony back, Fear."
Solon didn't have time to explain. The Meisters were close.
"I'm crazy and you're fat," Fear said.
But he picked up Solon and put him on his back.
"Magically, too. I've got a plan, and I'm not fat."
For all that he second-guessed plans when they were all safe, Fear knew to obey in battle. He opened himself quickly, and Solon dipped into Fear's talent. He lashed himself onto Fear's back with magical bonds. Then he quickly readied 5 thin weaves. It still hurt, but not nearly as much as using his own talent.
"Now," he said, "jump!"
Fear leaped over the side of the bridge. The rope was in the perfect place, not because of the wind or the power of prophecy, but because Solon pulled it there with magic. As Fear grabbed the rope, Solon activated the other weaves. Holes were torn in the sides of each of the fire pots, and air inside them suddenly compressed, jetting the oil in the pots out onto the bridge. The last weave dropped a little spark in the middle of the oil. There was a satisfying whoosh. The river suddenly lit orange and white, and heat washed over the falling mages. Then, things were happening too rapidly to follow. Fi'ir had caught the rope with both hands and a leg. He immediately flipped upside down. The sudden change in direction caught Solon's arm across Fi'ir's shoulder and snapped it. If it weren't for the magical bonds holding him, he would have dropped like a stone. The rope, anchored on both sides of the bridge, first stretched, bowing down toward the middle. Because Fi'ir and Solon hadn't made it to the middle of the bridge, that meant they zipped head first for 15 paces. Then, the rope tore loose at the castle end. Solon watched light explode over them, distantly aware that they were swinging with terrific speed toward the river. The bridge was engulfed in flames, leaping merrily into the night. Or maybe that was pain exploding in his head. They had slapped into something cold and hard. He took a deep breath. It was bad timing. The cold, hard stuff had become cold, wet stuff. They were underwater. He coughed as Fi'ir came to the surface, and Solon thought dimly that the man was either a hell of a swimmer, or something was dragging them out. Fi'ir was on his knees in the shallows, holding up his hands. From his perch on the man's back, Solon saw that Fi'ir's hands had been torn to bloody pieces by the rope. He could see bone.
"Ah, you're better off than I thought you'd be," Dorian's voice was saying, as his magic hauled them out of the river. "Stop lollygagging, you two. We need to get going if we're going to make it to Calador in time."
"Lollygagging?"
Solon asked, glad to find that he had strength to be outraged.
"Calador?" Fi'ir said.
"Well, that's where my bride is waiting. I can't wait to find out who she is. I think Curoc is going to find its way there, too."
Fi'ir cursed, but Solon, broken arm, purple vision and all, just laughed.